The Bible speaks of unholy covenants, evil covenants with Satan, and their establishment of evil altars. What does the Bible tell us about them, and how do we deal with them?
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we are going to discuss today unholy covenants and evil altars. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 19, we hear about the story of Abraham being told by God to sacrifice his son Isaac and to go out in the wilderness and build to God an altar of wood and stone, to lay his son Isaac upon the altar and to sacrifice him. Abraham, in an act of absolute obedience, complied, and he took his son out into the wilderness. He built the altar, and he lay Isaac on the altar and bound him to the altar. And when he raised the knife to sacrifice his son, God said to him, "Stop, for now I know your faith." In other words, that Abraham trusted God. That's Abrahamic faith. And God said a very interesting thing. He says, unbind him from the altar, loose him. And then God said, I will make a covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations, and your descendants as the stars of the heaven and the sands of the seas. And then in that chapter, there is a very interesting remark that is made. And it says that the Spirit of God sealed the covenant. In other words, the Holy Spirit became the seal spirit of the altar. But as we learn from our study of Scripture, Satan counterfeits everything God does. And there are unholy altars that are built by Satan to bind the saints to sin, and even those who are not believers to sin. We see this in 1 Kings with Elijah in the prophets of Baal, where Elijah called down the fire of God on the altars of the 450 false prophets of Baal to destroy those altars. We see Gideon destroying an unholy altar. And by example, we understand that Satan is counterfeiting everything God does, but to his own advantage. So we discover that just as righteousness establishes a altar to God, unrighteousness, that is the practice of sin, which is called iniquity, iniquity is the practice of sin, establishes an unholy covenant or contract with Satan. Most people don't know that when they are practicing sin, that they are doing this. Satan deceives them, but he puts an unholy covenant upon them, and that unholy covenant establishes an unholy altar, and the altar is named by the familiar spirit that carries out the sin. So, for instance, if someone practices fornication, sex outside of marriage, they enter into an unholy covenant with Satan. Satan creates an altar of fornication, and the seal spirit of that altar is the spirit that ministers that sin. It will be the spirit of fornication. And the seal spirit is the enforcer. Just as in Abraham's case, the Holy Spirit sealed Abraham's covenant with God and became the enforcer of that covenant. Satan counterfeits everything that God does, only to his own purpose. And so, people become bound to the unholy altar, and that binding to the altar by Satan ends up producing a generation's curse that goes down four generations, according to Exodus 20, verse 5, where God says, I will put the iniquities of the forefathers upon their children to the third and fourth generation. The generation's curse goes down three to four generations, and if someone in between repeats the sin by practicing it, that extends it another four generations. So what we discover is sin is inherited at demonic altars, and those altars bind the person to do the sin. Many times people will confess their sin to the Lord and turn from it, and a week later they're doing the same thing, and they can't seem to break away. Why? In the spirit realm, they are bound to a demonic altar. We see that in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 7. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Is it God's will? No. In Isaiah 49:24, it says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? And in Psalm 124, verse 6 and 7, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. We are escaped. You see, God doesn't want you caught up in demonic altars. Gideon had to destroy his father's altar, but when he did, He replaced it with an altar to God. That's another principle that we learn from Scripture. We can destroy demonic altars by decreeing them destroyed in the name of Christ Jesus, renounce them, break the unholy covenant in Christ Jesus' name after acknowledging the sin to Father God and asking His forgiveness for walking contrary to Him and in hostility to Him, then breaking the covenant, breaking the generation's curse, and casting him to the pit and chaining him there until the great white throne judgment. We break the generation's curse in the name and by the blood of Christ Jesus, and then we establish an altar to God at which we praise and worship and give thanksgiving after destroying the demonic altars. Another thing you can do is you can call down the fire of God on the altar, as Elijah did upon the altars of the prophets of Baal, to destroy those altars. And you can invite and command warrior angels of the Lord Christ Jesus to go forth on your behalf to pulverize the remains of the demonic altar so that it cannot be reestablished. In Exodus 20, verse 24, we read about the law of the altar. It says, "An altar on earth you shall make unto me," this is God speaking, "and shall sacrifice thereon the burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen, and in all places where I record my name, I will come unto you and I will bless you." So it's important to establish an altar to God after destroying a demonic altar. You see, the altar is the place of covenant. The altar is a place of worship. The altar is a place of transactions where present and future purposes and destinies of your descendants are made, and we use angels to do the work. Yes, we can command angels. That's in Hebrews 1:11 that says, "Are they not ministering spirits sent to minister for us?" Not just to us, but for us. In Psalm 103, verse 20, we read, "Bless the Lord, you His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word." So when we apply the word of God, they go forth and they carry out the word of God for us, and we are then able to get the victory. Remember, generations' curses are birthed on demonic altars, and therefore it is important that we break them. God demanded that evil altars, when identified, be torn down and destroyed. We see that in 1 Kings 13, verses 1 to 6. We'll read from verse 4 onward. It says, "And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel," that is a demonic altar, "that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold of him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before." So here we see God destroying a demonic altar that the king wanted to preserve, and to show the king that he was wrong, he caused his hand to wither. Then the king asked for mercy, and the man of God sought the Lord, and the Lord restored his hand. So here we see, with all of this going on, that God is still able to extend grace. Destroying evil altars is a command of Scripture.
In Deuteronomy 12, verse 2 to 4, we read, "You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall possess served their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God." And then in Deuteronomy 7, verse 5, we read, "But you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and bring down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire." So here we see that God does not want us living under demonic altars. Demonic altars minister only one particular type of sin. Spirits in Scripture are named by their ministry. Thus, the spirit of anger will only minister anger. It will never minister fear. The spirit of fear will only minister fear, and it will never minister jealousy. They are named according to their function, that is, what they minister. And so, we destroy the altar, naming it by the sin that is binding the person to that altar so that he can't stop the sin. And the name of that sin is the name of the seal spirit of that altar, that is the enforcing spirit. And we bind it, we loose ourselves, we break the bonds and ties and cords of the altar in Christ Jesus' name, all commands in the name of Christ Jesus. We loose ourselves and we cast that spirit to the pit and chain it there until the great white throne judgment, all in the name and by the blood of Christ Jesus. Then we establish an altar to God by declaring it, an altar of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you." You see, worship and altar transactions begin with acknowledging the Lord and submitting to him. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? All altars that we build to God are to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And rightfully, because God is a God of deliverance, we should establish a holy altar to them and worship and thank them regularly for deliverance from evil altars and covenants. Remember, we decree the covenants broken after we confess the ancestral sin. And we divorce ourselves and whoever is affected from the covenant, from the altar, and from the sin. Break the generation's curse, cast the seal spirit, bind the seal spirit, cast the seal spirit to the pit, and chain it there until the great white throne judgment, and decree yourself free in Christ Jesus' name. For it is written in Job 22:28, "In that day you shall decree a thing, and it shall be established for you." Let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? These things are real, and he can free you from them. If Jesus has a way in, Jesus has a way out. I invite you now to invite him into your heart so that he can demonstrate to you that he is real. Are you ready? Pray this prayer aloud, being willing to turn from your sin.
Say, "Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen."
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.